You're listening to the Options Insider Radio Network. For more quality options programs, visit www.theoptionsinsider.com or search for Options Insider Radio Network in your podcast provider of choice. Listeners can also access all of our programming through our mobile app, available in iTunes and on Google Play. Don't forget to follow along with your favorite programs and submit your own questions for the hosts at twitter.com/options. Facebook.com/TheOptionsInsider or via questions@TheOptionsInsider.com.
Join us now for the expert source for inside information on the options markets. It's time for Options Insider Radio with your host, Mark Longo.
Welcome back to Options Insider Radio, the interview program here on the old network where we welcome on guests from throughout the world of options and derivatives and proceed to pick their brains for the benefit of you, the listener. My name is Mark Longo from theoptionsinsider.com, as well as, of course, from the ever-exciting Options Insider Radio Network. And if we sound a little bit different, because we're coming to you not from our studio in Chicago, but, of course, from the Options Industry Conference here in scenic and sunny Florida. A great event allows us to catch up with a broad spectrum of the options industry, including our next guest. He is Rob Diarco, the CEO over there at Rival Systems. Rob, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And I looked it up right before you came on, and you have been on before, but I knew it had been a while, and it was actually back September 30th of 2015.
Nice. So
it
has been, way too long.
It has been quite some time, Rob. So we'll dial it back a little bit before we go forward. And let's start, give our audience a little bit of an overview of your background in the space and how you found your way to launching Rival.
Sure. I've been in the trading industry for almost 15 years now. Started at a prop side of the business at Ronin Capital. Worked with the team there building out all the technology for about 12 years, and then we decided in September of 2015 to take my whole team and spin it off, and that's how Rival was formed.
I'm guessing that's probably why you were on back in September of 2015.
Yes, yes.
Good timing on our part there.
And you know, for those who don't know, Rival, we provide an integrated ecosystem of multi-asset trading and enterprise risk management tools. And our users range from, you know, individual futures options or equity traders to big prop firms, hedge funds, and clearing firms as well.
Well, obviously a lot has happened in the market, I'm sure, at Rival since the last time you were on. So catch us up. What's new and exciting and what's going on over there at Rival these days?
Like I said, it's been 2.5 years, and we've been extremely busy. It's been going really well. I've had significant growth every year since we launched, and really very focused on building out additional functionality and capabilities for all of our users. You know, what I love about my job is that I get to play in multiple sort of verticals in the space. So we have, you know, the front-end trading system. So, you know, I may have a conversation about in the morning about, you know, low latency development using FPGA. And then I'll go to a meeting with our quant team and talk about, you know, Monte Carlo simulation to calculate VAR. And then I'll go to the end of the day, sort of talk to the dev team and figure out, okay, what additional features do we want to include in our mobile app? You know, like I said, we have an amazing team of quants and developers that make it happen every day. So I'm very lucky from that standpoint. And, you know, what we've been focusing on is really connectivity, so additional connections both on the DMA side of business as well as brokers, so providing our users with connectivity to lots of different venues that they want to trade on. Continue to add more automated trading features on our front ends, building out our API so people can make it even easier to build their low latency automated trading strategies. And then lot of what we've focused on recently has been the enterprise risk management piece. So we just announced, I think it was last month, the release of VAR using Monte Carlo simulation, and that's been a huge game changer for our clients. You know, being able to click of a button, calculate VAR, in seconds for every single one of their accounts, whereas before they used to have to take that data, export it to some other system, do a lot of manual manipulation. So being able to run those types of calculations at any time throughout the day, has been very, very beneficial. And so we're, continuing to focus on all of those things and adding more and more capabilities for all of our customers.
That's funny. You mentioned the front end. You also mentioned the API. Those are two interesting, if somewhat contrasting things, because I bet it's got to be somewhat frustrating for you guys, even though it's what the client wants at the end of the day rules, right? But you spend all this time building what you think is a really cool front end, and it's got all the bells and whistles and the features, and the UI is smooth and everything moves great. And then the client's like, yeah, I just want the APIs. Is there a preference for one or the other these days in terms of the clients, or is it equally mixed? And what do you guys think when someone says, we don't want any of that, just give us the API?
Right. Well, what we think the benefit of using Rival, that our whole ecosystem is that you can sort of take any of the components on their own or fully integrated. So we have lots of users that are using our front end, but they maybe, want to feed in a driving price or their own options model, whatever it may be. So our goal is to really be able to provide the capabilities. So regardless of what they want to do, we can offer them that solution. I think we have the benefit of having the product suite that covers sort of all of those areas from trading, API, risk management. It adds a lot of value for someone to know that, hey, I can start with the front end and sort of the out-of-the-box stuff. But then when I want to do my take it to the next level and have more automation and have more customization, that I have the API ready to go. So I don't have to then switch systems if I want to get more sophisticated. So I think it's our approach is to make sure that we have all of that sort of level of functionality, so we can continue to satisfy our customers as they mature.
It's interesting because we have a lot of vendors come on the network, and we hear a lot of this conversation of the battle for screen real estate, right? It's even if a trader's got 27 screens, he never has enough room for all the things he wants to watch and see. So you coming in as the vendor and now add thing 28 to your screens, it's a bit of a non-starter. So I'd imagine that it's good. You have to have that API in your back pocket, right? Otherwise, for a significant percentage of the clientele, they're just going to say, forget about it. They want to take your data and pull it into whatever proprietary thing they already have that they know how to use. And you have the best front end in the world. They won't care. They want to have the API. So yep, it's probably a necessity, I'd imagine, in your neck of the woods these days.
Yeah, I think, the reality is the bar has been set higher than it used to be for software vendors. I think we all need to be, very low latency. We need to have API. We need to have a good front end. We need to have all of the pre-trade risk and compliance. If you want to play in this space, you have to be able to provide everything. That's what we're very focused on. Being able to offer those different capabilities provides that flexibility that someone, if they're very sensitive of screen real estate and they have their own front end, it's really seamless for them to do that integration.
You mentioned, you started at Ronin there, so the Rival kind of has its origins in the index and volatility space. Is that still the primary product category for you guys, or is there, are you branching out into equities or commodities, other areas, or are you seeing a lot more client growth?
No, we have clients across the full spectrum of assets, so futures, all the commodities, futures, all of the options and futures on the CME, the ICE, as well as Eurex. And then we have equity options, market makers as well. So like I said, we really want to be able to provide, whether it's someone just click trading a future or an option, or it's ultra low latency, someone who's quoting equity options or futures options, we want to be able to provide them with those capabilities. Because the reality is, it's like, they're in today's world, people don't just do one strategy anymore. And we have people who are trading firms that have trading corn, trading equity options, trading all sorts of products, and they don't want to have separate different platforms for each of those things. We're focused on being able to provide that so that they can standardize on one platform.
You know, we've obviously seen an interesting, if not turbulent, period in the market over the last couple of months. I'm kind of getting the pulse of everyone who comes through here and what that's been like for them. And I'm curious for you guys. Again, your primary starting point was in the volatility and index space. Saw a lot of action in there. Yeah. What's it been like for your perspective in terms of your clients? Have you seen a growth in clients as a result of vol coming back into the space? Or has it been maybe a little bit too much too soon? Are you seeing some clients fall by the wayside? What's it been like from your perspective over the last few months?
Well, I think we have a unique sort of vantage point because we have clients who are VIX options market makers. We have clients who are hedge funds trading the VIX. And then we have firms that are clearing the VIX, sort of using all of our tools. And so it's been interesting for me to sort of see it from different angles. I think from a market making side, things went as they should and sort of as expected. The volatility spiked, markets widened out, and market makers were able to really take advantage of the volume that happened on that day. We were in a conference or a session earlier today about the spike in volume on that day, and I think. For market making, that's critical, right? You want that volume. So everything from their side of things sort of went as expected. On the hedge fund and the clearing side space side of it, I think the key there was being able to have the right risk tools to be able to proactively make sure that the positions that they had on weren't going to be adversely sort of affected in that type of move, as well as then during the day, being able to see real-time risk management and know what was going on. I mean, on that day on Wednesday, Feb 5th, the market significantly jumped. I think it was 40 or 50%. I can't remember the exact amount, but in a half hour. So if you're using sort of an antiquated risk system where you're looking at things every hour, even every 15 minutes, worst case, end of the day, you're going to run into significant issues. So I think what we've seen is that, the volatility has been good for the market. I think it's a healthy level of volatility now. It also, I think, woke a few people up to say, hey, we need to have better systems. And we've seen more demand because of that. And I've gotten calls from people that maybe said, our system's fine. But they realize, hey, we need to get our risk system up to where it should be.
I have to imagine this. Yeah, you're right. A good time to be hawking a risk system.
Right.
People have suddenly awakened to the need for better risk control. Was this just serendipitous timing, or did you actually plan to roll it out shortly in that March time frame anyway, and just worked out?
We shortly after we launched, we launched in September 2015, and then we launched the arrival risk application in November of 2015. So we've had that enterprise risk.
The VAR is new. That came out.
VAR. Yes. The VAR, that we've been working on that. We didn't plan it just right before that happened. But
sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Right, exactly. but it's really all of our functionality is customer driven. So, we get that feedback from our users, and we're constantly evolving our functionality. And so people, they're sort of like their rival, part of that rival community, and then they just keep getting better and better software. So we love that feedback of releasing new software, sort of very iterative, getting that feedback, and just continuing to evolve that. So the VAR was just a function of that, and people said, hey, you know what? We have to wait until the next morning to see what our VAR is. So we said, well, that's crazy. We could do it. We have a great quant team. Let's just get it done. And we're able to deliver it really quickly. And I think another cool thing, not to geek out on VAR, but a lot of people.
How can you not?
Right. A lot of people, traditionally we just see like one number or, one number per account. Yeah, but what we're trying to do is really give more insight into what's behind that number. So showing the correlations and showing the distribution of the P&L over all the different runs for each simulation. So users being able to see that distribution is it gives a lot of insight. So there's a difference in $2 million VAR number. But what is that distribution like? Is it skewed one way or the other, or is it symmetrical? I enjoy that sort of stuff, and I love the reaction that we get when we show it to the clients. We're like, oh my God, this is amazing. That's what really drives us.
You come from, like I said, the market making world with Ronin and stuff, and one of the reasons I like having vendors on the show is you guys get to interact with a lot of different players in the space. So you're not just, you know, one exchange or one broker dealing with one group of products. You get to talk to and look at people trading a lot of them. And a big topic here at the conference is, of course, liquidity and kind of the plight of market makers and how the two are intertwined and how the problems in one area are impacting the liquidity on another. I'm curious, like I said, you come from this world, so you have some skin in the game, and you're interacting with a lot of these market makers and traders now, so they're your current clients. What are your thoughts on this this contentious issue, and maybe what we could do collectively as an industry to try to grow that liquidity pool up again?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, specifically in the equity and index options space, the capital requirements, I think, have been one of the biggest hindrances to people, more market makers coming into the market. And I've seen market makers leave the equity option space and move more to the futures option space specifically because of that. So, you know, I'm not someone who's an expert in all the regulations, but I know that one specifically, you know, has been very impactful. I think the other issue, and we've heard a lot here at the conference, is the cost of technology. So as a vendor, you know, that's obviously very interesting to me. Like, what can I do to sort of help reduce that cost or sort of make it easier for people to start market making? And, you know, traditionally, the firms out there right now, they still, a lot of them use their own proprietary system. And, you know, there's that constant question of build versus buy. We're always sort of coming in and saying, hey, you should buy, obviously. But, you know, I think as that cost goes up, it's going to be harder, a lot harder to justify continuing to build out your own technology, you know, investing millions of dollars just in payroll for your dev staff when you can, you know, put that capital to better use, you know, with the actual trade itself, and use a third-party vendor to reduce your cost, as well as then focus on what really matters, and that's, you know, how are you quoting, how are you managing your position, you know, focus on the art of trading as opposed to, you know, just trying to, you know, eke out the you know, another microsecond here or there. And I think the reality is, you know, the third-party technology has really evolved. You know, that's part of what we're doing as well as other people in the space are doing. It's to a point where I would argue that what's out there is just as good, if not better, than some of the prop systems.
You know, this is obviously directly impactful for you guys because those market makers are your clients to a large degree. Yep. In the small prop firms. And so if they're under pressure, if they're leaving the business, that impacts you guys. You know, talk us through how challenging is it for you guys to go out there and find new firms to buy your product? Because if there's a mass exodus from the space, it's got to be hard for you guys to generate new business.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is kind of what I said, where people may shift what they're trading, so move from equity options to futures options, and then even within the futures options, someone may trade corn, and when, you know, people are following the vol, right? So if corn's hot, they're going to start trading corn, then they're, you know,
it's like corn's hot every like 5 years,
right?
Or so,
exactly, yeah.
And then they leave it and they come back to it,
right? You know, and then it's dairy, and then it's, you know, something else. There's always.
I've yet to hear the dairy. We talk about dairy on our TWIFO show, but it confuses the hell out of me. I can't make heads or tail of the dairy
right.
stuff.
Right. So. You know, I think it's less so people completely leaving the market and more shifting. And so, again, going back to capabilities as a vendor, you have to be able to support that. And, you know, I think it's critical as a vendor to make it easy for people to transition into a new product. And so that's, you know, what we focus on. And then as well as, you know, I think we, again, have the benefit of having products that kind of address the full breadth of the user base out there. So we're not just focused on options market making. You know, we have quants that are using our APIs to build auto algos on just futures or, you know, the enterprise risk management space. You know, we're able to pull in new business by having a diverse set of products and revenue streams. You know, we're obviously always focused on that, always trying to figure out how we can best satisfy our clients and open up new markets for ourselves.
Well, Rob, I'm glad we can get you back on. We'll have to do it more frequently than once every 2.5 years.
Sure.
or so. But that said, you know, if there's something we didn't get a chance to touch on today, or perhaps you want to leave our audience with a little bit of a hint, a little bit of a tease of what's coming down the pike from you guys over there at Rival. Now is the time. The floor is yours.
Yeah, you know, I've obviously covered a lot of what we're working on and what we're going to be doing. And, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, it's all driven by our customers. So there's a lot of stuff that we have in the works that's customer driven. But I'll save that for the press releases.
Oh, well, there you go. There's no one listening, Rob. It's just you and I. All right, fine. Save it for the press releases. That's no fun. Well, Rob, I'm glad we can check in, and we'll have to see all these press releases come out in the coming months.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The preceding program was a production of the Options Insider Radio Network. For more quality options programs, visit www.theoptionsinsider.com or search for Options Insider Radio Network in your podcast provider of choice. Listeners can also access all of our programming through our mobile app, available in iTunes and on Google Play. Don't forget to follow along with your favorite programs and submit your own questions for the hosts at twitter.com/options, facebook.com/The Options Insider, or via questions at theoptionsinsider.com.